think in Alaska, they ought to provide reasonable parts inventories through the best way available and plan ahead and have those inventories available.
Yeah, well, the ultimate person who's responsible is the manufacturer, so if they, if for whatever reason they don't perform in the time allowed by this bill, they're going to suffer whether they could or could not have fixed the bill or fixed the car. So whether they're waiting for a part to get here by dog sled or if they choose to get it here in the most expedient manner, I know I have in my own self being in the business, construction business for many years, have had parts that were absolutely inferior on a new product that I had to wait some time till they had manufactured a new replacement part to do the same job, and to say the least, it's pretty frustrating. But if this bill would at least give you an opportunity of a time limit that you had to wait, and if they extended that, they're the ones that suffer ultimately.
Right. Going on to page 5, the full purchase price definition beginning on line 8, the last item covered in that is accrued finance charges, excuse me, and I believe it's absolutely essential that that language remain in the full purchase price, which is subject to reimbursement in the event that the vehicle can't be repaired. That's, for most Alaskans, a necessary cost of purchase of a new vehicle, and to exclude that really penalizes the purchaser who, through no fault of his or her own, ends up with a lemon vehicle.
I'd like to comment on that. That is certainly a concern of many people in the bill. And but for instance, like Sears, that if you put you buy appliances or whatever, I think from Sears or Ward's or something, they have a pretty liberal view on replacing or giving the money back guarantee on their products. However, if you put the on their charge card, or if you put it on a master charge or whatever, however you pay for that, it I don't know of any other warranty who gives interest back, and so this would be some pilot legal fields that we'd be going into, and it was an area of concern that some people do pay cash, some people have to pay 20 or 24% to get interest because they're poor credit risk, other people perhaps get it through their own bank at very low cost, or they might borrow the money from a friend, or they might go to a credit union, they might borrow from Ford Motor Company or GMAC, and there's concern of what interest are we going to do? Are we going to penalize the person who pays cash and he won't get any interest back, or you know, just how are we going to address the whole problem?
I can see that it would be a drafting problem to make sure that there weren't abuses of that language. However, I think providing reasonable restrictions is entirely possible and ought to be done, but that the language providing for the reimbursement of the interest really needs to stay in there with appropriate restrictions that could be developed. And I'd like to just conclude my comments by saying that I think this bill applies to the tiny fraction of vehicles sold within the state. I certainly hope that that's the case. It's dealing with the exception and with the problem cases. It is a reasonable, equitable way of solving the problem cases. There's no reason that this should end up being an adversary relationship with the dealer, and I personally reject the concept that somehow this bill is designed to penalize dealers. I think it's designed to make the consumer whole and to provide remedies that ought to be available to the consumer if they happen to get stuck with one of the exception cases. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, and I appreciate that. And I'm over, it's past the floor time, and we're going to have to conclude this teleconference. I am sorry that we had people out there that didn't have an opportunity to testify, but I note some of these people that have that are scheduled to testify have testified before, and those that haven't, I'm just, all I can say is my apologies. All the other committee members are on the floor now, and I've held this over to give as long as everybody has an opportunity to testify. It's my intention that the subcommittee, as I understand, is going to meet tomorrow morning, and then my staff has indicated that we will schedule this bill for final action hopefully next Tuesday. And at that time, it'll probably be just a work session to get all the people involved and all the testimony that we've had and come up with final draft of the legislation. And with that, I'll conclude this teleconference and adjourn the Labor and Commerce Committee.